You're listening to the Faith Unpacked podcast. Welcome back to the Faith Unpacked podcast with Jason and Jamie. This is episode 287. And today, Jason is still gone this week. But he'll be back. Don't worry about that. He's just got some stuff going on in his life, and he'll probably, I'm sure, be sharing it in future episodes with you. But in the meantime, I want to talk about the reality of grace and our salvation. And I think this is really important because there really is two, I think, dangers in coming at this. You know, one of them is the typical idea of fleshly or sinful humans, which is that we in some way work for our salvation, that we somehow participate in it, that we somehow bring about some aspect of that salvation, that some of it's the work of the Lord, and then some of it is our own work. And of course, that's not a biblical position at all. But then there's this other side that says we fully embrace grace, and we embrace it to the degree that it does not matter what we do. It essentially becomes, you know, a Gnostic kind of faith, you know, where all that matters is what happens in the spiritual and nothing in the flesh matters at all. And there's just some real tension there, or maybe tension's not the right word. Maybe the word is just confusion, but these two realities do exist, and there is somewhat of a pull there. And then, of course, you throw in there the words of Jesus Christ himself, who says, you know, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And it's like, wait, I'm so confused here. And I think you see that a lot of times. And so I think it's an important question to look at and ask, is grace free? And I think that's the best way to maybe ask the question, is grace free? And what does that actually mean in a biblically correct sense? And so I want to start with, you know, just basic biblical theological framework. The reality of the gospel is really simply that man sinned and fell into rebellion against God and thereby was separated from God, yet God intervened through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, and we are saved by faith through grace. So we can see how the Bible kind of puts this all together. Let's start with Ephesians chapter 2, you know, which begins, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins." Okay, so verse 1 right there, we're in some serious trouble. Because if you're dead in sin and trespass, there's nothing you can do to make yourself undead. There's nothing you can do to save yourself. There's absolutely nothing you're able to do at that point. And that's real troubling. And in fact, we know the human condition is worse than that. John 3:19 tells us that the light has come into the world. The light of God came into the world, but men loved our darkness rather than the light because our deeds were evil. Which is to say, you know, it's not that we didn't know better. It's we didn't care. Literally, the revelation of God was presented to us and we didn't care at all. And the result is great sin. The result is great failure, great rebellion against God. And we rebel against God in, you know, really three forms. I think every bit of human sin falls into one of three categories. We can rebel against the authority of God, which is to say, you know, I don't want you to be God over my life. I want to decide what's good for me. I want to decide what's right for me. I want to decide what is in my best interest. And that's one kind of rebellion. The the other kind of rebellion, the second kind of rebellion, is rebelling against the word of God. This is what God has told us, what is good for human flourishing. This is what we see in God's good word, right? The revelation of himself in the Bible, the 66 books of the literal Ruach of God, the very breath of life of the Lord, of his word. And then the third kind of rebellion is against the design of God, right? Because God is, not only is he the sovereign Lord of all creation, the creator of all things, but he's the designer of everything. He determined how we were made and why we were made the way we were made and what is actually good for us. And he gives us that, you know, he says, here is my way, walk in it. It's not a invitation to a debate. It's not a question of like, if you feel like it or if you want to, it's literally, no, here's what's good for you. Let me tell you what's good. Let me tell you what's right. Let me tell you what my good design, my good way, my good path is for human flourishing. And when we walk that way, not only is it good for us, but God gets all the glory. And so that's the kind of rebellion you see. So here in Ephesians chapter 2, so we were dead in our trespasses and sins. And he says in verse 2, in which you previously or formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the princes of powers of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of our flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. And this is where it starts to get beautiful. Verse 4, but God, being rich in mercy because of his great love, which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive according together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved and raised us up with him and seated him on the throne in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So that in the age to come, he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. And he goes on to make it even more beautiful. Verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not as a result of your works, so that you cannot boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good work, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. I mean, it's a beautiful testament of the gospel, right? And this is Paul making very clear, hey, we were in sin. We were in a terrible condition. We were in a condition where there could be no rescue, and yet, or there could be no rescue of our own effort or our own merit, because we were dead in rebellion. We were stuck in that. And yet God, right? And that's the most beautiful but God there in verse 4. And it just showcases the glory of God's goodness. And this is the picture that the Bible has given us cover to cover. How are we saved? We are saved by faith through the grace of Jesus Christ on the cross, right? Jesus, the Bible teaches us that Jesus expiated and propitiated, right? Which is to say, those are the theological terms for Jesus took on the full wrath of God for all human sin. He literally paid the penalty for every single human sin that has ever lived and will ever live, and at the same time restored us in relationship to himself. I mean, it's amazing. It's beautiful. And this is not a gospel of we deserve it. It's quite the opposite of that. It's a gospel that we literally did not deserve, that we literally did nothing for. I mean, think of 1 John 4, right? Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everybody who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love, right? That's who he is. That's his very character and nature. And verse 9 goes on, but this love of God was manifest in this way, that God has sent his one and only begotten Son into the world, that so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. So beautiful. So very beautiful. This glorious gospel. And it's always been that. Old Testament, New Testament, how are people saved? They were always saved by faith. Always. There was no partial atonement. There was no temporary atonement. There was none of that, right? That the sacrifice of animals could not accomplish anything. The law could not accomplish anything. In fact, Paul makes that even clearer for us in Galatians chapter 2, where at the end of the text, he directly addresses that question of the law. And he says in verse 21, I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died needlessly. Literally, this is not a gospel of you can save yourself. This is not a gospel of human effort. This is not a gospel of you did anything. It's literally none of that. You did nothing. Right? Romans chapter 3. It says in verse 10, as it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned aside together. They have become useless. There is no one who does good. There is not even one. Their throat is an open grave. With their tongue they keep deceiving. The poison of asps is under their lips. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness? Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are their paths, and the path of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God in their eyes. This is not good, guys. This is the reality of the human condition. There is absolutely nothing we can do. There is nothing by the law we can do. The law is just there to show us we cannot live up to the righteousness of God. And it makes the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus so compelling. Verse 23, Romans 3 still. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Jesus Christ, whom God displayed publicly as the propitiation in his blood through faith. This was to demonstrate his righteousness, because in the forbearance of God he passed over our sins previously committed, for the demonstration, I say, of his righteousness at this present time, so that he would be just and the justifier of those who have faith in Jesus. Right? And then he goes on in verse 27, where then is boasting? It is excluded by what kind of law? Of works? No. By a law of faith. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Or is God the God of the Jews only? Is he not God of the Gentiles also? Yes, of the Gentiles also, since indeed God, who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised by faith, is one. Do we then nullify the law through faith? May it never be. On the contrary, we establish the law. Now, here's that confusion. It's like, wait a minute, you just made very, very clear that our salvation is by faith alone. So then, what is this works aspect? Well, it's not for our salvation, but it is for our sanctification. And Paul's going to flush that out even further and make it absolutely clear when we come over to Romans chapter 6, where Paul asks, you know, that very question. If we're saved by faith through grace, and if that's true, then why not continue to sin? Because that has no effect on our salvation. And Paul reminds us that if we're asking that question, we've also missed the point. He says in Romans 6, beginning in verse 1, what should we say then? Are we to continue on in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so that we too may walk in the newness of life. For we have become united with him in the likeness of his death. Certainly we shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be a slave to sin, for he has died is free from sin. And so it's this very reminder, right, that we have been given the grace of God, which, by the way, while God's grace is free to us, it's not free in the sense that Jesus Christ paid a lot for it. And how can we tread upon the grace of God by purposing to sin? How can we do that? That's not compatible with a proper understanding of the gospel. And so, hear this out clearly. You are saved 100% by the grace of God. Yes, that's absolutely 100% true. No human works are involved in your salvation. You do nothing to save yourself. You cannot save yourself. There is literally nothing you can do. But at the same time, don't waste the grace of God by going on in sin. God's desire for us is holiness. And the only way that happens is through relationship with him, right? John 15, Jesus makes that point very clear, that apart from him, we can do nothing good. Apart from him, we can do nothing righteous. Like, we are desperately dependent on the Lord Jesus Christ all the time, right? Even in 1 John chapter 2, the author begins by saying in verse 1, my little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, not only for ours, but also for those of the whole world. So this is that reminder again, right? Like, our salvation, 100% Jesus. Our salvation, 100% the work of God. Our salvation, 100% the death of the eternal divine Son. God, very God, who took on flesh and went to the cross and died for our sins. and provides for us the free grace through faith. But at the same time, all of that should lead me to a desire to pursue righteousness. To say, Lord, thank you so much for the grace of Christ. Lord, I see how much it cost Jesus Christ, the eternal Son, God, very God. I see how much he paid for my salvation. And Lord, I want to pursue you so that I can be holy. I want to pursue you so that you do your sanctifying work in me, so that I, my flesh, can be dead to sin and I can be alive to Christ. Now, I don't know that we ever get to that place where we're perfectly righteous this side of heaven. I don't know if that really happens outside of our fully redeemed bodies. But I do know that God calls us to pursue him so that we can do that. And the result of that, right, the closer I get to the Lord, the more grieved I become about my sin. The closer I am to the Lord, the less I want to sin. The closer I get to the Lord, the more I see his holiness and glory. And so that's the balance, right? Which is, our salvation is not from human effort. And yet we do not go on living a Gnostic life as Christians. We do not have this weird humanism that says, well, I was saved by grace as a free gift of God, and God never changes and God never takes that away. And so I can just live however I want and just be like, I'm sorry, Lord, and you covered it and we're good. If that's true, I think you've missed really the very reality of grace. You've really missed how much it cost Jesus. Because God's desire is that we be reconciled back into relationship with him. And as we pursue him, he creates in us more and more, greater and greater holiness. So that in the end, God gets all the glory. And it's for our ultimate good. That is the beauty. That is the beautiful gospel that we have. Yes, we are saved by grace. And that salvation provides for us the opportunity to pursue the Lord and to be changed by him and to be made new and to have the old man of sin and death put away as we continue to see greater and greater holiness while we wait for that ultimate redemption of our bodies, where we're fully sanctified by and in the presence and glory of the Lord. And that's going to be so cool. But in the meantime, we don't want to cheapen the grace of God. Well, we also don't want to make our salvation built on our own human effort and works.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Faith Unpacked podcast. We're so thankful for your time. We hope and pray that these encourage your faith and walk with Jesus Christ. If you'd like to hear past episodes, you can find them on our website at faithunpacked.com. We'd also invite you to subscribe on your favorite podcasting site. If you have any questions, feel free to hit us up on social media, or you can send us an email at faithunpacked@gmail.com. And we invite you back next time as we continue to unpack our faith together.